The Guardian.
Welcome to a world where money matters, where the gap between rich and poor has grown to a chasm, where the moral certainties of the past are slipping away and the threat of apocalypse is never far from your mind. This is the world conjured by the 14th century poet William Langland in his surreal, hypnotic masterwork, Piers Plowman. You're listening to an audio series conjuring the psychedelic dream world of the poem and inspired by Fair Field, a modern reimagining of this medieval masterpiece staged in the Malvern Hills, Ledbury and London this June and July. This is episode 3, Truth.
Cheers. When I think of truth, I think of it as a kind of abstract concept, to be honest. I don't think I can really assign one definition to what truth is. I think of it in the same way that I think about when people talk about reality. You know, what is reality? My reality is different from your reality. My idea of truth is different from the next person's idea of truth. But I think there is a sort of attachment of purity to truth.
When all treasures are tried, truth is the best.
Eastward, he beheld after the sauna, and saw a tour as he threw a truth was therein.
Let laymen then learn, for learned men know it, that truth is the choicest of treasures on earth.
Truth to me personally is being honest with oneself, and I've always been honest with myself.
Truth, I think it comes from inside.
I think of trying to realise who we are and what reality is.
Do well. Do better. Do best.
I know it's cheesy, but as long as I'm true to myself and I know who I am and I try and be honest with everyone else, I think it'll get you the right people in your life.
I don't believe that we live in an Elon Musk simulation, which is kind of like created by my own brain.
What's our true nature?
Do well.
How do we realise our true nature?
Do best.
Do well. Do better. Do best.
Do well. Do better. Do best.
The outside world is real, but that doesn't mean that I shouldn't question it. That process of interrogation, that's what makes me feel alive.
Do well. Do better. Do best.
The whole poem is a search for truth. And of course, as we're always told, we're living now in a post-truth age. And the character of Will, the dreamer, he is faced with lots of different sources of information, but none of them seem to be definitive, so he's always looking for the next fix.
The Office of Civil Defence has issued the following message. This is an attack warning. This is an emergency attack notification. This station is interrupting its regular programme.
Just in. The Thames is on fire. Dogs chant communism in the alleys. Serpents have forced their way into the dreams of babes and poisoned their innocence. Shadows have unhooked themselves from the walls and pledged allegiance to the rebel army. This is the news.
See, I don't read newspapers. I don't. I can't stand them. I find them boring. I know it's bad and you should know what goes on in the world. But like you say, you don't know what's true and what's not.
There's this incredible, almost hallucinogenic quality to the language. It does propel you forward, and it's also quite repetitive, but that repetition is not boring. It's more like you're entering some kind of vortex.
Pestilences and sin and the southwest wind on Saturday was caused by our pride, and for no point else.
Pear trees and plum trees were puffed to the earth. An ensample, sages, that ways shall do the better.
As an example to sinners to do better.
Beeches and broad oaks were blow to the ground, and turned upward her tile, in tokening of dread, that deadly sin our domesday shall fordone him all.
Wait. Do you even know if you're still dreaming? Will, if this is just a dream, then my voice is just your voice? That means that you already know exactly what I'm about to say, right? Go on, test it. Test it.
Do well, do better, do best.
The most regular type of ecstatic experience is a dream. Every night we go beyond our ordinary self into this kind of subconscious fluid world where things change into other things and we go on strange missions and stories that evolve. You read a book and you lose yourself in the book and you stop thinking about yourself and you lose track of time, or you lose yourself in a beautiful place of nature. Ordinary everyday ways that we, as it were, get out of our heads. We shift our consciousness. And then there are the deeper forms of kind of mystical ecstasy, which people might find on a strong psychedelic trip, for example, maybe a kind of near-death experience, or in deep contemplation, people might report visions or raptures or these kinds of out-of-the-ordinary experiences.
One of my favourite parts of Piers Plowman is known as Gluttony's Feast. Gluttony and the dreamer, Will, are on their way to church when a landlady, an innkeeper, sticks her head out the window and asks them to come and have some ale. And Gluttony says, no, we are on our way to hear Mass. At which point the landlady says, but we have got some hot spices. We've got garlic and we've got fennel seed. And Gluttony is convinced by the offering of hot spices, and so he comes into the pub and we end up going on a medieval pub crawl with Gluttony. They're drinking so much, they're drinking all the way through evensong, till Glutton had y globed a gallon and a gill, which are two weights of, or measures of drink. His guts, gan to grumble as two greedy sows. A pisse de pottle in a paternoster wheel, which means he relieved himself in the time it takes you to say the Our Father. A blew his round ruit at his ridger boner's end, he blew his trumpet at his backbone's end, that Allah that heard the horn held a here nosa after, and weshed it had been wexed with a weps of briars, which I probably shouldn't translate. In the passage that follows, Gluttony has got so drunk that he stumbled home and he vomits. And when he drowled to the daughter, then a dimmed his yeas, a thrombled at the threshold and threw her to the earth, and Clement the cobbler caught him by the middle for to lift him aloft and laid him on his knees. Ach, Gluttony was a great churl and gravered in the lufting, and cowed up a cowdel in Clement's lap. Is none so hungry hound in Hertfordshire durst a lap of that leaving so unlovely it smelt. Basically, the meaning of that is that Gluttony vomited all over Clement the cobbler, and his vomit was so horrible that there wasn't even a hungry hound in Hertfordshire who would eat it up.
You're looking back at the Middle Ages, they had these kinds of, these shared maps of inner journeys and spiritual journeys. Now we've all got our own maps, our own private spiritualities. We don't have shared maps. We don't have shared communities. So I think that's a challenge for our time.
I think, to do good by others and to be kind and do good in that sense, we've all got to be a bit of a rebel sometimes, but that's different.
It's such a scary question for people, for them to ask themselves, I've only got however many years on Earth. Is this really like the best thing I should be doing with them? It's hard to like use that to sell people shit they don't want. So that question gets replaced with other questions like, are you being healthy? Here's all these new products you can kind of get to eat better. But yeah, like because people can't monetize that question, it's forgotten. And because it terrifies us to think about that question, it's forgotten.
I think being good is different from doing good. Being good suggests that you're like following rules. Doing good, I think, is doing good for other people, so helping people. The pub is lazy wallpaper, psychedelic carpet. The same as yesterday. I sink to the bar, forget what to order. I want to eat all of the crisps. I pay without blinking. And the Friday night dehydrated potted plants wait with sucked teeth. And I want nothing more than to marinate in a warm pint of ale, lick my failed ambition in the most English way I know. And I want sloppy kisses while running in zigzags to the bus stop. Smell of beer mats, tears in toilets, a doner kebab or two. There is hate at work. There is uneaten pizza in my sheets. There is a serving of regret, complimentary with my fryer. But still the pub is waving, rocking like a cradle. Single or double, I open my mouth and lie belly up on polished bar. The staff pour another in and I walk with pins in the backs of my knees, with an unamused audience, with diluted eyes and hands that ask for obligatory friendship, hiding razors in my palms. I will take the fire exit, say goodbye to no one, hoping someone will ask where I went, and in reply will worry over my bare shoulders on unwatched streets. And in the morning, I will help an old lady with her shopping bag and smile at crying babies on the crowded tube. Until it's time to feel the tongue of booze lick my stinging wounds. Then I'll grind my teeth to dust and slow dance naked with the wall.
These podcasts were produced by Natalie Steed for Penned in the Margins and The Guardian. To discover more about Piers Plowman and this summer's events, visit thisfairfield.com.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.